Now we're heading to the beautiful hills of North Canterbury. Cosmos with Sarah and Matt Black, a young farming couple who've grabbed an opportunity to farm a large property with both hands.
So we're at Marble Point Station. We're at the wool shed overlooking State Highway... What is it? State
Seven.
Seven. Should we do that again?
Maybe I'll do the first
bit. Okay, you go.
We're at Marble Point Station, which is halfway between Hanmer Springs and Culverton, right on State Highway 7 and adjacent to the Wyre River. Up here we are 2,396 hectares, and that's mainly, it's about 93% steep hill country and a little bit of flat, and we've joined that up with a 60 hectare irrigated block just south of the Paiha River in Culverton.
We range from 200 odd metres at the gateway, our highest point's around about 890 metres above sea level, and there's a lot of steep hill country around here, yeah.
And Sarah, you've been farming here for about, 3 years?
Yep, we moved here I think in early 2018 as part of an equity partnership with the Wilson family from West Melton, Robin and Pip, and we're all farming together.
Yep. Sarah and I sort of worked up and down the country on farms prior to coming back to North Canterbury, and we're actually working for the Roxburgh family in Wyre and running our block, our 60 hectares at Culverton, and eventually LIC came calling and I went AI and cows as a way to supplement our income to run the small farm. So yeah, it was a battle, but we sort of were going to make it work no matter what. And just through word of mouth, we were so lucky that we heard of this opportunity coming up. We didn't know the Wilson family, and we managed to make contact and put our name in, and luckily we were picked. After a process, we managed to get the opportunity to have a go. So, you know, some people say, you know, to get a farm you've got to win lotto. Well, it's pretty much basically like that for us, so we're really lucky.
Was this your dream farm?
Absolutely. Matt is originally from Culverton, and my family owned Medway, what's now Medway Springs, which is actually just across the Wyre, on the other side of the Wyre River from Marble Point. So as the crow flies, I haven't moved particularly far. and it is useful because we have Grandma comes over for afternoons and picks the kids up off the bus. So it works really well for us.
So really this station is in between where you were both brought up.
Mm. That's right, yeah, probably pretty much smack bang in the middle. And it's such an opportunity that we've been given, so we sort of just make the most of it, try and work hard so we can blim and hopefully keep doing a bit of development and keep the place going ahead, because we sort of, you know, whatever happens in the future, whoever, like, you know, whether it goes to the next generation or whatever happens, we just want to send it to the next person in better order than when we came.
Yes.
So that's our goal.
Sarah, we are standing under the cover of the shearing shed because it's drizzling and a bit cold today. Do you get snow here in winter?
We do. North Canterbury does get traditionally the odd big dump of it. Mm. But we're reasonably lucky. In the time we've been here, we haven't had a lot. But historically, this property has cleared really quickly. So it might come down pretty quick, but then it goes again.
Now, when you did move on to the property, did you take over the existing stock?
Yes, we did. Yep, everything that was on the farm, pretty much. The Wilson family had actually brought it a year earlier, so the stock numbers had gone up a little bit, and then when we come in with our into the equity partnership, yeah, we just brought into the stock. It was all valued on a certain date, and yeah, that's how it was all apportioned.
And what did you end up with?
Stock unit wise?
Yeah.
We're running about 8,300 stock units now, so we run Corridale ewes up the hill. The Wilsons actually have a large Corridale stud down at West Melton, so yeah, the Corridales are going well for us here. The breed's changed a lot over the last 15 years, I'd say, and yeah, we like them. They've got good mothering ability. They're a true dual-purpose sheep. Foot-wise, they've come a long way, and yeah, they suit us well.
Can you make a profit off the Corridale wool?
Well, at the moment we are. Obviously the price of shearing's going up all the time, which I don't think anybody bemoans that. Shearers work hard and there's not the shearers around anymore, so we're actually lucky to get the shearers. But yeah, it's where we sort of started. We're probably around that 28 micro on. We're down to 27 now. We're sort of umming and ahhing whether we should be trying to go a fraction finer, but with our lambing percentages at the moment, we're pretty happy where we're at. So the finer you get, the you may lose a bit of fertility and constitution, but yeah, we'll just keep going. We obviously want to grow a good product, and yeah, we're probably quite strict on the ewes. Anything that we don't think's got the wool that we're after gets a tag, and that'll go to a black-faced ram. So those lambs that are born by those ewes aren't coming back into the flock. So we really are trying to grow a good product. So we're slowly working away at it with the rams we're using.
And you've got Angus cattle?
That's right. We calve. We're calving 430 this year. We've got 320 mixed-age cows will calve, and then 110 rising two-year heifers will calve for the first time. And the Angus go well for us. They go well on the hill. They get out there and get amongst the scrub and stuff and forage well, so that's what we're after. We've just got to, with our sheep as well, we just want good doers. They've got to be resilient, the sheep and cattle, and they've got to have the fat covers to be able to blim and cope in the dry conditions. Yeah, the Corridales really love a bit of dry, so it was no sort of issue for them. And the cows, well, they get up in some of the big gullies behind us and, yeah, forage away, so they go well.
Yes.
So.
And, Sarah, what is your bread and butter here?
In terms of farm income?
Yeah, in terms of bringing money in.
It would have to be the sheep. Being 70% sheep, wool is probably a lesser part of that, but the main portion comes from lamb sales, so whatever lambs we can get away to finishers or to the works, that's where the bulk of our income comes through.
Can you see wool picking up with the growing interest in sustainable products?
I really hope so. Wool's an amazing product, and in this day and times where we should be moving away from plastics, you know, a natural fibre that's sustainably produced has to be an option, and it would be really sad if that wasn't the case now. So we're forever hopeful that the time of wool is upon us, and we'd be love to be a part of that.
How did moving here change your lives?
Well, I think for me personally, it's our chance to have a go at having our own hill farm to run. And, you know, pretty much that's what it's like. The Wilsons are great. They leave us to it and let us make a lot of decisions. And, yeah, they're really supportive. And if we decide, you know, things are getting dry or whatever and we have to sell stock, store, they're more than happy to back us. So it is just like having your own farm. And to be able to do it in North Canterbury close to home is, yeah, it's an opportunity we didn't think we were going to get. We thought we'd probably have to go north or, yeah, somewhere else, but not North Canterbury. So, yeah, it's been really good.
We were supported by, I guess, Matt's family. They gave us an opportunity with the piece of land in Culverton, which we developed and gave us the ability to get that equity to come into it. But it's a pretty high hurdle to get over, that's for sure. Farms are pretty expensive.
Yes, yes. And what have been some of the biggest challenges you've faced since you've entered into this equity partnership?
Well, there's been a few sort of challenges, I suppose. COVID's been here, which is, like, so, you know, being an essential service, we've been able to carry on as normal. But just, you know, we've been lucky with shearing dates and things like that. We just managed to get our shearing in before the lockdown came in, which was really lucky. The stress levels wouldn't have been too good if lockdown came in and then we're still trying to shear. So, yeah, COVID's always been there, which is a bit of a battle. But other than that, it's probably really just the same for all farmers. It's just the weather. And it's just, you know, you sort of don't know what you're going to get, do you? We seem to have extended periods of dry or wet at the moment. And we've just got to learn to deal with that. And I think, like, you know, most people will tell you, like older farmers that have been through it will tell you to make decisions early as soon as it looks like getting dry. So I think people are getting better at, you know, making those decisions early. So, yeah, this last autumn we've been particularly dry. Like, we were so good November, December. We'd had good rains, and I sort of kept all our cows and calves down on the front, the easier country where we'd normally mate our ewes. And, you know, most people would normally rely on getting reasonable rains in the early autumn, which, you know, we normally would. And So I kept the cows and calves down, and then, you know, the ram goes out in April, and by the time we got to late March, I was starting to think, far out, they haven't got much feed for the ewes to tough on. So that was a real challenge for us, and we did have to feed a bit of barley out to tough our ewes on because we didn't really have any grass. But we managed to make it through, and when we did get rain, we sort of got 118 mils on the 31st of May, and it was like it was good and we did need it, but it was just the ground temperature was still warm, so we got a fraction of growth. But like a farmer said to me at a bull sale, the moon's not very hot at that time of year, and I think that's about right. Like, it was just the days are just too short. Yes. So
for people who don't know what tupping is, can you explain?
Well, that's just another word for mating. So you want to flush your ewes prior to mating, so you're on an upward rise so that you're giving yourselves every chance to get as many lambs as possible. So that's where we were sort of battling because we just didn't have the grass. And our scanning this year was back a bit on the year before, and that's really only because we didn't have as many twins as triplets as we normally would, but our dry levels were still really good, so we were pleased about that.
And so the next few weeks are going to be extremely busy, I guess, with lambing and calving.
Yes, so hopefully the weather plays ball this time, because the weather is the single biggest factor on our, I guess, our profitability and how we go for the rest of the year. So we'll just wait and see. There's been some wild weather, a couple of big windstorms coming through in the last week, so hopefully we've seen the last of it, but it's hard to say.
Were you impacted by the winds that came through earlier this week?
No, we definitely felt them, and we have a couple of trees down here and there, but really we've been really lucky. It seems to have been really concentrated to certain areas, so people have in certain places have had lots of trees down, and others have got around it, and we're one of the lucky ones.
Yes. And Matt, what's on the agenda for the rest of the day?
Today it's really, we're trying to get back into a few maintenance jobs around the farm, really, a bit of fencing. There's a few weeds that would quite like to go and get a few prills on around the place, and just really keeping an eye on heifers. Our heifers are calving behind a break at the moment, just make sure they're all calving well, and we'll start lambing in the next few days. So fingers crossed for good warm weather. Last year we had two snows. One was right in the middle of the first cycle and one was right in the middle of the second cycle, so it sort of hampered us a bit there, but fingers crossed we don't have any nasty storms or anything come through.
Now, Sarah, as well as being a farmer, you are a lawyer and you work part-time in Culverden.
Well, I was a lawyer. It's been a few days since I did that. I think it was before I had kids and I moved to the country. And it is difficult to have a office-based career when you live 2 hours from a main centre. So I think if I was going to do that, I'd probably have to drive towards Christchurch. But I was lucky enough to find probably what is one of the only office-based jobs near me at Emuria Irrigation. And I started that when the kids were young, one day a week, and I've moved up to 4 days a week now that they've got a bit older. So, yeah, it's a great company to work for, and it also has the ability of helping a lot of farmers, because we supply about 140 shareholders, and those are, you know, they're our extended family, our friends and our community, and so it's nice to be part of that.
Sarah Black handing that story from Marble Point Station between Culverden and Hanmer Springs.